Support comes from the Norton Simon Museum, presenting I Saw It, Francisco de Goya, Printmaker. This exhibition features all four of the Spanish artists' major print series in their entirety for the first time on the West Coast. Now on view. More at NortonSimon.org.
Support for LAist comes from Visual Communications, presenting VC Film Fest, celebrating 40 years of Asian and Native Hawaiian Pacific Islander filmmaking, with over 200 films May 1st through 10th. Info at festival.vcmedia.org.
Good morning. It's Wednesday, November 30th. I'm Suzanne Whatley, and you're listening to the LA Report from KPCC and LAist.com. Here's what's happening. The Los Angeles County District Attorney and other top officials have announced the creation of a working group to address the fentanyl problem. KPCC's Robert Garova reports the action comes amid a dramatic surge in overdose deaths.
The new collaboration between the DA's office, public health, law enforcement, and education leaders comes on the heels of a new report on fentanyl overdoses in LA County. Details are so far scarce on how the group will work, but the county says they'll collaborate on prevention, education, and enforcement. This comes with the news that accidental fentanyl overdose deaths went up nearly 1,300% from 2016 to 2021. LA County Public Health Director Dr. Barbara Ferrer says white residents accounted for the largest number of these fentanyl-related deaths.
But after you adjust for the differences in the size of populations, black residents had the highest rates of fentanyl overdose deaths, ED visits, and hospitalizations.
Doses of the opioid overdose treatment Narcan were distributed to every school in LA County in response to recent fentanyl-related deaths among students. LAUSD Superintendent Alberto Carvalho says that effort has saved seven lives. Covering mental health, I'm Robert Garova.
There is a growing number of public school principals saying that political polarization is making their jobs harder. That's the takeaway from a new UCLA and UC Riverside survey of nearly 700 school leaders nationwide. KPCC's Kyle Stokes reports.
In a similar survey done before the pandemic, principals in politically divided purple communities were less likely to report students making hateful remarks against classmates for expressing their political beliefs. Now, UCLA professor John Rogers says principals in purple communities are more likely to report conflict.
That's reflective of the ways that hyperpartisanship has increasingly targeted purple communities.
Rogers links this increase in strife to conservative activists trying to capitalize politically on debates over how schools should address race, gender, sexuality, and even the pandemic. Compared to 2018, principals in purple or red communities were more likely to report hostility toward LGBTQ students and less likely to say their school offered training on teaching about race or ethnicity. Covering education, I'm Kyle Stokes.
There's a development in the strike by nearly 50,000 University of California student workers. Both sides have announced that they've reached a partial tentative agreement. It involves the union that represents 12,000 postdoctoral workers and academic researchers. The union has not yet set a time for them to vote on ratification. Other segments of the unionized workers remain on strike. USC's street medicine pilot program providing medical services to unhoused people will expand by early next year. The LA City Council has approved $1 million to fund additional teams to serve people in South LA and Hollywood. Councilmember Nithya Raman says recent developments in Sacramento are helping.
Changes in policies at the state level have now made it possible for Medi-Cal to cover medical care that's being provided on the street.
A total of three teams will have the ability to provide on-site medical care for up to 900 unhoused people across six council districts in Los Angeles. A coalition of environmental groups held statewide protests this week to denounce what it calls a greedy oil industry that is bad for people's economic health and overall well-being. Kenny Swan is with the Sunrise Movement. She organized a protest at the Phillips 66 refinery where, she says, nearby residents are dealing with pollution and health issues.
Neighboring communities like Wilmington are forced to breathe in a lot of toxic fumes, specifically from Phillips 66.
Swan says Big Oil does not give back to the vulnerable communities where its operations are located.
This year, Exxon made $46 billion, Chevron made $29 billion, and Shell made $30 billion. Even when the crude oil has gone down, these oil companies continue to charge their high prices, is just big oil being greedy.
Swan's group is part of the Last Chance Alliance, an organization committed to ending California's reliance on fossil fuels. A Phillips 66 official sent KPCC a statement from the Western States Petroleum Organization. Swan's group is part of the Last Chance Alliance, an organization committed to ending California's reliance on fossil fuels. A Phillips 66 official sent KPCC a statement from the Western States Petroleum Association. That's the group that represents the oil and gas industry in the state. It says the industry suffered huge losses during the pandemic, and the profit margins are a supply and demand issue. Meantime, the average price of a gallon of self-serve regular gasoline in Los Angeles County dropped today for the 20th consecutive day, decreasing 5.4 cents and is now $5.02 a gallon, its lowest amount since March 3rd. The United States men's national soccer team played against Iran yesterday in a win-or-go-home World Cup match. KPCC's Ryan Mena reports from a watch party in Westwood.
UCLA students packed in at a local sports bar for the match. Iran's team has drawn a lot of attention while protests rage back home around women's rights. The team opted not to sing their country's national anthem ahead of their first game, but reversed course in subsequent games. Tabby Majab, a graduate student at UCLA, noted the political pressure.
I think a lot of fans of Iran are expecting the players to do something or show some kind of solidarity and support, but they don't know that the players' families have been threatened, so they really can't say anything.
Majab is from England and is half Iranian. She's been at the bar for each match, rooting for both of those teams. England is advancing to the next round, but the U.S. knocked Iran out of the cup, winning 1-0 on a goal from Christian Pulisic. I'm Ryan Mena.
There's rain in the forecast moving in as soon as tonight, and it is set to go widespread tomorrow into Friday. It'll be cooler than normal for the rest of the week. Today's highs will be in the upper 50s into the 60s from the coast out to the low desert, and the Antelope Valley will be in the 50s, and that is where overnight low temperatures will be down into the 30s tonight. Thanks so much for listening to the LA Report. I'm Suzanne Whatley, inviting you to read more news at laist.com and listen live anytime at kpcc.org or on the KPCC app.
This program is made possible in part by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, a private corporation funded by the American people. The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at laist.com/sweeps.